Hi, it's Michael Senoff with Michael Senoff's HardToFindSeminars.com. The title of this interview is called How to Grow Small Businesses the Verizon Wireless Way. Hint, you're probably already doing it. Before he became an HMA marketing consultant 18 months ago, Frank Schwitek worked for Verizon Wireless as a performance consultant. He even co-authored a book called Managers, Can You Hear Me Now? He did it with Denny Strigel, Verizon Wireless former CEO, who took the wireless company from $192 million to a staggering $62 billion in revenue. According to Frank, Denny grew Verizon to its incredible heights by sticking to the same four principles the HMA marketing consulting system uses to build up small businesses: grow revenue, get new customers, keep the customers you already have, and cut costs. So in this audio interview, you'll hear exactly what the HMA system has in common with the insanely profitable success formula, but you'll also get a step-by-step look at how Frank applies it to his own HMA practice, using it to land clients and make money fast. Frank also shows us how he talked to his local Chamber of Commerce director in letting him run a three-hour program that Frank got paid for as a speaking engagement, and how he used that program to sell $55,000 in consulting fees afterward to just one client. You'll also learn why it's so important to search out non-sales oriented businesses when you're prospecting for clients and the three kinds of small businesses that fit the bill. You'll learn the four projects Frank starts his clients with before he even thinks about doing an opportunity analysis: establishing metrics, discovering weaknesses, redefining roles, and getting everybody on board. And you'll hear what he charges for each. You'll learn the one tactic Frank uses to get around traditional cold calling that makes it almost a no-brainer for prospects to give him the green light. You'll learn everything you need to know about setting up a program at the Chamber of Commerce, from how to pitch your program to the agreement you'll need to have the director sign off on. You'll hear the two magic buzzwords to drop during a meeting with a chamber director that instantly shows them that you not only know your stuff, but you know how to present it to all their members. You'll also hear all the details about Frank's three-hour program, where it was conducted, what the chamber provided for him, what materials he bought, and the two exercises he included in his agenda that subtly sold prospects using aha moments he had them discover themselves. You'll also hear how to find hidden pockets of sales and income opportunities that exist with every client so you can do more projects and make more money. According to Frank, small businesses are the marketing opportunity of the future. There are 23 million of them in the United States alone, and they make up 54% of the sales here. So the market is huge, and there's a lot of opportunity if you know how to find it. And in this audio interview, Frank tells you exactly how to do that by applying the four Verizon Wireless and HMA principles of success to your own practice and your clients. Hi, I'm Michael Senoff, founder and CEO of HardToFindSeminars.com. For the last 5 years, I've interviewed the world's best business and marketing minds. Along the way, I've created a successful publishing business all from home from my two-car garage. When my first child was born, he was very sick, and it was then that I knew I had to have a business that I could operate from home. Now my challenge is to build the world's largest free resource for online downloadable MP3 audio business interviews. I knew I needed a site that contained strategies, solutions, and inside angles to help you live better, to save and make more money, to stay healthier, and to get more out of life. I've learned a lot in the last 5 years, and today I'm going to show you the skills you need to survive. Frank, it's great talking to you, and I appreciate you taking the time to share some of your insights regarding the HMA system and some of your experience as a management consultant and your involvement in Verizon. And I think the HMA consultants are going to really learn a lot from you. First, let me ask you, how long have you been an HMA consultant?
It's been approximately a year and a half now, Michael.
And you have co-published a book. Can you tell our HMA consultants what the title of that book is and what it's related to?
The book is entitled Managers, Can You Hear Me Now? My co-author was Denny Strigel, S-T-R-I-G-L. Denny was the former CEO and president of Verizon Wireless. And he had a remarkable record, probably one of the most successful CEOs in the last 20 years. He took Verizon Wireless from $192 million to $62 billion. In 20 years. And it's staggering growth, because if you have anyone out there listening to us, if they take their 2012 income and multiply it by 325 times, you get an idea of how staggering that growth was. So I got to know Denny through college. Denny and I attended the same Jesuit school in Buffalo, New York, Canisius College, C-A-N-I-S-I-U-S. And I got to know Denny, and I ended up working as a performance consultant for 16 years for Verizon Wireless.
What is a performance consultant, and does it have some similarities as being an HMA consultant that you can relate to?
What we focus on as a performance consultant is improving individual performance and organizational performance. So the focus is on not just going into an organization and saying you need to make these changes, but it is also trying to work with the managers, the professionals within that organization to grow and to develop. And that's certainly one of the goals of the HMA system, is to help the organization grow as a business, but also to help the business owner grow.
So 16 years you were a performance consultant with Verizon.
Yes. And what I saw basically was how Denny operated and what he focused on. And the remarkable thing to me was that he strongly believed in simplicity, keeping things simple. So in his quest to keep things simple, he set up four fundamentals for all managers. And the four fundamentals were to grow revenue was the first fundamental. The second fundamental was to get new customers. The third fundamental was to keep the customers you already have. And the fourth fundamental was to cut costs, eliminate unnecessary costs. So he built that entire business just focusing on those four fundamentals each and every day. Well, it was very interesting, because when I came across the hidden marketing assets system, I found that the HMA system positively and significantly impacted all four fundamentals. So while we're helping the managers of small businesses to become better marketers, we're also helping them to become better managers, because it's a change agent to help them to focus on the four fundamentals.
What was the book that you co-wrote with them about? What would one learn in that book? Is it focus on how to integrate these fundamentals that Denny used to grow Verizon Wireless so large so quickly?
Well, the book has a couple of key elements to it. The first one is that the number one priority of all managers is to deliver results, and at the same time, building respect. Well, the HMA system is all about building results. So Denny strongly believed that you have to focus on the numbers, you have to know the numbers, and from that, you can improve and you can get better. So the book is all about results. It's about building respect when you're dealing with other people. It's about trust. It's about avoiding distractions to stay focused. And we're very excited, because I think it's hit a responsive chord with managers. We're now in over 60 countries, and publishing rights have been sold to China and Korea and Japan and Singapore and Russia.
That's fantastic. Can we talk about your HMA consulting business and maybe a recent client case study that could illustrate some of the fundamentals you learned working with Verizon and Denny, and how you've related it to this client case study?
Oh, absolutely. And I know you talk about the importance of speaking in the HMA system and getting out and speaking. So I knew someone who was a director of a chamber of commerce in a suburban area, and I called him and I asked him if I could put together a presentation on a unique system of marketing called the Hidden Marketing Asset System. So I went and I visited with him, and based on that visit, we had actually set up a 3-hour session.
Okay, but before you go on, I've had consultants who have told me they have called and they would like to come do a presentation on a unique marketing consulting presentation, and they're getting feedback from some of the chambers, and they say, well, Frank, we've already got a marketing guy here. What would you tell the consultant to say? How would he respond appropriately? Or should he just give up?
No, what I would suggest, and as you recall, it's what I did with you, Michael. I called you and I asked you if I was the only authorized and licensed consultant in the Western New York area, and you indicated that I was. So that was very helpful in overcoming that objection, that I'm the only authorized consultant for the hidden marketing asset system, and based on that, it got around that objection.
So let's say that the gentleman who fields the calls at the chamber said, Frank, that's real nice, but we've already got a marketing guy. How would you reply?
I would reply by saying that this particular system that we are teaching does not deal with only one specific aspect of marketing. My experience has been is people will go in and say, I'm a marketer, but I market website marketing, or I market SEO, search engine optimization marketing. They tend to work within specific areas, or pillars, as we might call them. This program focuses and touches on all of the pillars so that small business owners can audit what they're doing and how they're doing. And the word audit seems to hit a responsive chord with them.
Okay, so using the word audit, also using a exclusivity element, saying you are the only licensed and authorized HMA consultant in the Western New York area, seem to have helped. What if he says, well, Frank, you know, we got Roger here. He's doing the bit on advertising. How is this different from his shtick on advertising that he's doing every month? And isn't he going to get upset?
I think in terms of Roger, one of the things we believe in the HMA system is that we can increase sales without advertising expense and make better use of the advertising that we're currently doing. So if the small business owners can make better use of the advertising that they're currently spending with Roger, Roger's going to end up getting more business.
Okay. Can you send me something in the mail? How do you deal with blow-off like that? What if they said, Frank, would you just send me something in the mail? Would you follow up and send something in the mail?
Let me just back up a little because I think this is important. You know, we talk in the HMA system about the fastest way to grow a business is through partnerships and through referrals and people that we know. What I try to do in all of these speaking engagements is to identify people that I know who are members of the chamber and people maybe I've done work with, so that when I talk to the director of the chamber, this person's job is to serve the membership. And I can say that I've talked to Bill so-and-so, Tom so-and-so, Terry so-and-so, Sharon so-and-so. And based on the conversations, they thought that this program was really unique and different, and I'd like to come over and share the principles with you. I just don't make a cold call. I try to set it up.
Very good point, and I appreciate you explaining that. Joint ventures and the alliances are going to be the most profitable and equitable way about going to get either, number one, clients, multiple clients, or a speaking engagement. So take us back into what occurred. You contacted them and they had agreed for you to come in and to do a presentation. Tell me, what was that presentation going to be about? How long was it? Did you charge for it? How many people came? Give me some details of how you integrated the presentation and brought it to reality. You're listening to an exclusive interview found on Michael Sinoff's hardtofindseminars.com.
Okay, so I met with the director. The director was very amenable to running the program.
Let me back you up. When you say you met with the director, what did that meeting look like?
We sat down with the director and talked about how this program is different, how the members are going to benefit, and how long the program was going to be. In our case, it was going to be a three-hour program. And I just wanted to have the ability to get in and cover some expenses. So what we did was I said for the first 20 people that come in, they would charge $25 per person, and the first 20 people would be money that I would get. That's my fee. Anything after that, we would split 50-50.
Okay, that's nice. So when you met with the director, did you just talk or did you prepare an outline of the seminar that you were going to provide and hand him a copy? Was there any paperwork involved?
Yes, I did. Yes,
so what would you recommend a HMA consultant when they have set an appointment with a director of a chamber or an organization, tell them what they need to go into that meeting with to try and land this seminar? What paperwork, what did you do that seemed to have worked for you?
I focused on, first of all, understanding and showing the director that I understand small businesses. I understand the small business market. That's very important, that you have a feel for small business. And I knew in small businesses that, number one, people generally go into a small business because they have a passion, or they have a great idea for product or service. They go in with the notion that if the product and service is good, people will be a path to your doorstep. Well, that isn't true. So very few understand marketing, and as a result, they have hidden marketing assets in their business that are lying dormant, and they haven't tapped as a source of profits and as a source of sales. So I talk about that first.
And what have you prepared in paper to show him? What other tools did you come in there besides just talking about that? Then what did you do more specifically?
Well, that was part of what I had on paper, Michael. That was the top part of what I had on paper. Small businesses and marketing, I covered that. And then I just covered an outline of what I would cover in a three-hour program and talk about small business failure, the rate of failure in small business. We're going to talk about taking him through the steps of the hidden marketing asset system, and we're going to make it very participative. They like that. It's not going to be a monologue of me to them. So we try to build in a lot of participation, and the directors really like that because a lot of people don't do that.
So you show the director you're not going to get in there and just give a sermon or a speech.
No.
You're going to get in there and really work with their members. The bottom line is that director wants those members to come away with some value.
That they're going to walk away that day with ideas, concepts, principles that they can start working on the very next day.
And at that same meeting, you negotiated the first 20 that came in, you'd get the 20 or 25 bucks?
Yes.
And then anything after that, the chamber would get?
The chamber would split. We would split.
50-50?
50-50.
And he had no problem with that?
No.
Are these deals with chambers, monetary splits set up all the time?
That's what I try to go in with. And as I pointed out to you, Michael, over the last couple of years, I've been pretty busy with the book, writing the book and promoting the book and marketing the book and so forth. I'm now making the transition. So this is going to be part of my transition, is going to the chambers. And I'm going to see how this model works. Testing is very important. If I feel that it's an inhibitor to people coming, I may do it for nothing, just for the exposure to the chamber members and getting business from the chamber members.
Okay. Did you guys sign an agreement, a contract or anything?
I sent him a proposal of understanding.
Okay. He signs it, fax or email?
Email.
Okay, so he acknowledges it, we have an understanding, and then what occurs to put the ball in motion to set up this seminar training?
Okay, so from my standpoint, I prepared a manual for each participant or attendee, that would be the workshop manual. I prepared a PowerPoint presentation, and then on the chamber's part, they allowed me to create some compelling copy to send it out to their membership, and they did a couple of reminders in addition to the compelling copy. So we ended up, I don't know, maybe 22, 23 people who attended the session.
I see. Okay, the manual that you prepared for the presentation, did you just use black and white copies, you know, from a Kinko's and stapled, or how did you prepare? What did that look like?
Yeah, I used some of the graphics that are provided in the hidden marketing assets. I created some of my own graphics. I didn't want page after page of paragraphs and text. You know, I wanted to make it, as I pointed out, participative. So, you know, we started out by, tell me about your business, tell me who your customers are, and tell me the two main methods that you currently use to generate leads.
Now, let me ask you this. How long of a time from the time that you had an understanding that the presentation was going to happen, how far out was it scheduled? What day did you schedule it on? Any feedback on what the best day and time is, and what are the specifics on that?
We were out probably about 2 months from the time they agree to the time they conducted the program. And they are pretty good. You'll find the directors of chambers are very good at knowing when to do something and when not to do something. So they typically stay away from Mondays and Fridays. So I believe ours was on a Tuesday.
What time?
9 to 12.
So was lunch included, snacks, food? Who organizes and pays for that?
The chamber provided coffee and a continental breakfast when the participants came in, and then they also provided mid-morning break coffee. Everybody was on their own for lunch.
And where was it located?
It was located in a restaurant in the area of the chamber. Happened to be the East Aurora Chamber, East Aurora, New York. And they have a large business meeting room in the back, which was very, very good and very sufficient.
I see. Was it tables in rows, or was it like a U-shaped table? How were the tables set up?
The tables were actually kind of a U, maybe kind of an inverse J, because we had a pole in the way. And so kind of an inverse J, and actually people sitting on both sides.
And were you responsible for bringing the audiovisual equipment, or was that set up?
No, they had a PowerPoint projector, and I asked for a large screen, and they had one of their members bring in a large screen from their business.
All right, very good. I'm not trying to be nitpicky, but I think these details are questions that a prospective consultant who wants to do a chamber meeting and a presentation are going to have, and it's nice that you're providing a track for them to follow.
Well, that's real world.
So 20 to 22 people came from 9 to 12, and how'd it go? How'd you start it off, and how did the seminar go? Tell me what happened.
One of the things I try to create for people is aha experiences. So first of all, I mentioned the very initial exercise that I do to get everybody talking and to get everybody sharing their experience. And I think the first thing that happened is people realized that they're only doing one or two marketing activities to bring in business. And typically it's referrals and it's networking. So the word of mouth, referrals, and networking going to events. And I think when we went through that, I think it was a real eye-opener for them saying, gosh, first of all, we're all doing the same thing. And secondly, we're here because we need more business. So maybe the things we're all doing aren't things that are working. So that was a very good insight. So I like to do exercises like that. And then a second exercise I did right away, which I think helped them, is I said to them, okay, you're going to a place of business. And you're going to call on them regarding their business, not the hidden marketing assets business, but for their business. So, you know, if you're selling web services, if you're selling accounting services, you're going to see someone. And, you know, they look at you and they say to you, should I do business with you? Very quickly write down one paragraph as to why I should do business with you. So they quickly write, don't worry about grammar, don't worry about spelling, nothing. Just write, why should I do business with you? And then here's the eye opener. I say to them, count the number of times you used I, we, us, and our. We do this, I do this. And then count the number of times you use the word you, your, and count those numbers. Well, for the entire group, there were twice as many I's, we's, our, what we do, who we are, that kind of thing, and very few you's. And as a group, it was 2-1 in favor of I, what we do. So I tell them there's a difference between WWD messages, what we do messages, and you messages. So by the time I finish with those two, they begin to see and begin to see, wow, these are things I haven't even thought about. We're all doing the same thing, number one. Number two, we're using the wrong language in all of our advertising, our marketing, our website, and so forth.
All right, that's very good. That's an eye-opening exercise and illustrates where they're lacking pretty succinctly. So you did this seminar, and at the end, did you try and close it by offering consulting services? What was your strategy, and what were you hoping to get out of doing this training? What's the ultimate end goal in mind for you?
For more exclusive interviews on business, marketing, advertising, and copywriting, go to Michael Senoff's hardtofindseminars.com.
The end goal was simply a subtle sale, where I help them develop a whole bunch of ahas, as I call them. So they might have had some blind spots. They went from blind spots to ahas. And then, of course, the most important thing I shared with them is that the striving step is now important. You know, where are you going to put your efforts? Where are you going to put your time? How are you going to grow your business? So we focused on three things that they were going to commit to in their small groups. When I have a large group, I'll often break them up into small groups for exercises. So a large group of 20, maybe 5 groups of 4. And within that group, they are going to share with each other what are their three things that they're going to focus on. And I tell them, you know, you're going to see each other at chamber meetings. You know, I want you to check up on each other. How are you doing in that? How are you doing? So they had a lot of laughs with that one. Yeah, we're going to do that. We're going to do that. So that's how I end it. And certainly when they put some of those things down, I think people began to realize that they need help.
So at the end of the meeting, you said someone came up to you. Tell me about that.
At the end of the meeting, there was a woman who was the CEO of daycare centers. She had 12 individual daycares in the Western New York area.
All right, but at the end of the meeting, what did it look like? Did she tell you that, or what did she say to you, and how did you follow
up? Okay, so you could tell during the seminar she was very interested. She was writing things down, so forth and so on. And at the end of the meeting, she came up to me as we were kind of gathering things and people were leaving and saying goodbye. She came up and she handed me her card. And she said, Frank, I would like for you to call me. This is the kind of material we need to grow our enrollments at the daycare centers.
And what did you say?
And I said, well, that's terrific, Nancy. I'm delighted to do that. And she says, give me a call at your earliest convenience. And I called her in 2 days.
Okay. So when you called in 2 days, what did you do?
I called her, and she said that their enrollments were erratic, that the directors of each of the centers are all teachers and not salespeople, and we need to develop a sales culture and a marketing culture at the daycare center.
This was over the phone, or did you come in?
Yes, this was over the phone. So we set up an appointment.
Did you talk money on the phone at all?
No money.
So you set up an appointment where?
And I set up an appointment at her office, and I said to her, okay, before we start in terms of what I can do, what is your target objective?
Before you go into that, sorry to interrupt, did you do any little bit of research on her online before you met with her?
Yeah.
Let's talk about that. How do you prepare for a meeting? Would you tell a consultant to do his homework before he goes in for a meeting?
Yeah, I think today the new standard, Michael, is that there is an expectation that you go to the small business owner's site and you learn about the small business. You don't want to go in and say, tell me about your business.
So what did you do? You went to the site and learned a little bit about what they offered.
I learned a little bit about what their products were. And their basic product was daycare for children ranging in age from 6 weeks to approximately 4 to 5 years, and that they also had a summer camp that they ran during the summer for children from, again, 6 weeks, but now for the summer camp, it was up to 10 years old. So that was their market. And that's what I found out about them. I found out the names of the center directors, found out where the locations were. I found out how they communicate with the parents. And all this ties into the hidden marketing asset system, because we talk about the importance of communication with existing customers to build long-time value.
How did you find out how they communicate with the parents? Did you call and act as if you were interested in the service?
No. You know, on their website, they had articles by the education director from time to time. They had a news and notes section that if you were a parent every week, they were asking the parents to go to news and notes to see what the children were doing during that particular week. So I was able to build some of that when I got to understanding the three metrics that are critical.
So when you met with her, she knew you had done your homework, and already you're establishing yourself as a professional.
I think that's very important. But again, it's important not to let her know overtly that
right.
You did this.
Yeah.
But during the course of the conversation, you slide in certain things. You know, like she might say, well, we're pretty good at keeping our children once they register. And I says, yes, I noticed that you have a news and notes section. I noticed that you have communications from the education director. And that is excellent in keeping your customers happy over the long term and building the long-time value of your customers.
I see. So did you use the provided opportunity analysis program to take her through one of those, or had you internalized that and just kind of did it in your own version? How did that go when you met with her?
I outlined 5 projects. For her. And one of the real advantages, and this is a suggestion to all the new HMA consultants, is that there are pockets of sales opportunities and income opportunities for the sales consultants within the system once you really understand the system well. So going through all of the materials that you provide under the system, all the special reports you provide, all the audios that you provide, it's not enough to know that it's there, but it's enough to give you a real feel of what's possible with the HMA system. I think there's a lot of pockets of opportunity. So let me just show you exactly how I use that. So I went in and I set up 5 projects. And the first project was to obtain accurate key marketing metrics for a 6-month period for each center. Now, many of the consultants are going to find that small businesses do not know their numbers. And if you don't know your numbers, you don't know where to apply your marketing activities. So for 6 months, the previous 6-month period, I asked them for the number of leads that they get by phone, drive-bys means a parent driving by and just stops in, the website, contact me for more information, the number of tours that they did, and the number of enrollments that they got from the tours. They've never done this before, Michael. Then I asked them to calculate the lifetime value of an enrollment based on past performance. And then we created ratios and percentages. How many leads does it take to get a tour? How many tours does it take to get an enrollment? So that was project number one. Project number two, I visited each center for a 1-hour meeting with the directors. So they get to know me, tour the facility, review the metrics, get their reactions, gauge their level of marketing activity, perceptions toward marketing, and understand the objections and resistances of parents to enrolling a child. And then I would prepare a report. Third project was to redefine the marketing role of the director. What I suggested to her is that there is no mention of marketing in the job responsibility, or selling for that matter, in the job responsibility of a center director. And I think in order to make it important and to send a positive message, it's important to include some marketing metrics in their job description. That was project 3. Project 4 was to do a half-day sales training, 4 half-day sessions called Influencing with Integrity, teaching influencing skills to the directors. And then project 5, once we got through that, was to audit all marketing activities to date and conduct a marketing opportunity analysis to uncover high potential, results-oriented future marketing strategies.
So did you come in that first meeting with these projects outlined, or did you come back to her another time with this?
In our initial conversation I had with her, where she handed me the card at the chamber meeting, our conversation over the phone and looking at their website, I felt that I could go in there and propose some projects. And they bought it on site. It was about a $5,000 proposal fee, and they gave me 50% right there and 50% when the 5 projects were done.
Okay, so for all the projects, you charged $5,000?
Yes.
Okay, so $1,000 per project.
About $1,000, but a lot of the projects was something that they provided the labor for. You know, so when they're getting the number of leads for me, number of tours, number of enrollments, I'm just managing that. That's not work I'm doing.
Yes, I understand. And we talked in our first interview about, Frank, well, how did you know how much to charge for these projects? What did you base your fee on?
Well, what I looked at was, first of all, the long-term potential of this business. And I thought it was terrific to start with, because it's something the owner wanted. They didn't have any numbers. They didn't have a grip on their enrollments. Center directors, for as an example, were just giving tours, but they didn't feel an accountability to deliver on the tour and to get an enrollment. So, you know, this was a pain. You know, we talk about selling to the pain. So this was the pain of the CEO. So I felt that there was a lot of projects here. So I said, okay, I'm going to go in, give them 5 projects that we can do pretty quickly, and go in at a $5,000 fee just to get in the door, because I think that's important. You know, as I look back at my consulting career in other areas, getting in is so important because, as we say in the Hidden Marketing Assets system, back-end selling, you know, getting money on the back-end is where it's really at. So from that little $5,000 5-project proposal that I gave her, it's evolved so far into $55,000 of projects.
Wow. Well, why don't you enlighten the new consultants how that occurred? You're listening to an interview on Michael Senoff's HardToFindSeminars.com.
Well, this project took about 4 months, and then while I was working during the four-month period, we began to see what are the other areas where they needed help. Specifically, not only in the training and doing sales training, which, you know, we point out in the Hidden Marketing Asset System that that can really do a great job of increasing your conversion rate, but we began to see that we needed to increase accountability with the center director. So we created a job description based on all metrics. And so work with the HR director and setting that up. Then we took a look at all of their marketing activities and what they were spending money on in marketing and recommended that we develop a marketing grid. So with the marketing grid, we would identify each month where money was being spent in marketing and what was the result of that marketing. What was the response that we got from the marketing? What was the return on investment that we got for the marketing? So a lot of initial work was based on getting their hands around what they were doing and what the numbers were for what they were doing. We started then moving into other areas like database marketing, website marketing. And it's very, very time-consuming when you start getting into these particular projects, and they're pretty big projects. And if you deliver on those projects, it's like what some people say, one thing leads to another. You know, if you do a great job up front, you know, you wow them, you treat them as a client, you exceed their expectations, they're not going to want to go to anybody else because they're already comfortable with you.
I see. So when you did that, you saw opportunities for new project work and you made new proposals for project work based on fees?
Yes, every 4 months.
Every 4 months. I see. So how long have you had this client?
This has been going on now, 12, 13, 14 months. And some of the months, they were not long-term projects, so that would be $2,000. And some of the months, they were a little more intense projects, and they were $5,000 a month.
So explain to a new consultant. A lot of consultants have a very short-term view. They may see that they're going to get a client, work with them for a couple months, and then they're out of there on to the next. But that's not the case. If you get a client and do your job right as you're trained in the HMA marketing consulting system, you could have a client that goes on for years and years.
Well, and that's exactly what happened with Verizon Wireless. I started with Verizon Wireless by doing a luncheon speech for them, talking about the importance of sales and the importance of marketing and the importance of effective management, the importance of a culture in an organization that promotes marketing and sales. And that turned into 16 years and in some years, well over $100,000.
Well, I just had an interview last Friday with one of my first HMA marketing consultants. His name was Matthew Peppel, and I haven't heard from him in 4 or 5 years. And he told me that he went in and did a USP project for a client, and then they hired him right there, and he's been with the company for 5 years at $60,000 a year, over $300,000. And Richard talks about this, how you're going to get clients, and you never know where it's going to lead you. It may lead you into a job, a very high-paying, lucrative job as a marketing director. And that's exactly what kind of happened to you in a way.
Yes. And it's much easier to outsource it than it is to go through the whole process of hiring somebody and, you know, putting the ads in a paper and interviewing and so forth when they have somebody on site, especially with small businesses. They don't have the funds for a full-time marketing director, but they certainly need marketing services.
Let me ask you, so you had 20, 22 people at that one seminar. Did you generate any other client work or leads from the other people?
I did not. So I was in the process as I got into your program of setting up the database management, you know, starting to build the database, starting to build the communication, which is what I'm working on now. But I did develop a lot of referrals. I mean, that was helpful, too.
I see. Well, Frank, this has been a great client story. So, Frank, what advice would you have for the new or fairly new consultant or the prospective consultant thinking about getting into the HMA marketing consulting business? What advice would you have for them?
One piece of advice that has served me well is look for businesses that are traditionally not sales-oriented businesses, not market-oriented businesses. So I'll give you three examples right now. The first example is when I started doing sales seminars, I looked at banks, and banks were traditionally non-sales-oriented. They were mostly service. They were mostly operations-oriented. So this was an opportunity where they needed marketing and sales services. Secondly is daycare centers. Look at daycare centers in your area. Find daycare centers that have at least 8 locations rather than 1 or 2. 8 locations, and they're traditionally teachers. They're not sales-oriented, and they can provide a really good business outlet for you. There's a third area I'm looking at now for the new consultants, and that's accounting firms. And not necessarily the Big Six or whatever it is now, the Big Five, but the small business accounting firms. I'm starting to read that a lot of them are, again, non-traditional. They're not traditionally salespeople or marketers, but there's a need to market. There's a need for account development. So, you know, look for some of the non-traditional small businesses who are in need of marketing services. That's the first recommendation. The second recommendation, and this is something that I use in the market review with them with the opportunity analysis, and that is you always want to be sure that when you go into business, you have a market opportunity. And when you buy the hidden marketing asset system, that you have a market opportunity. Well, you know, there's been an awful lot said recently about where the marketing opportunities are in the future, and they appear to be in small businesses. The Wall Street Journal said in recent years, startups have increased by 60%. There's 23 million small businesses in America. 54% of sales in America come from small business. So in terms of your mindset, you know, you got to believe that there's business out there. You got to believe that the market is huge out there. So that's my second piece of advice is, you know, ensure that your mindset suggests to you that you have a great opportunity because of the amount of small businesses and the growth of small businesses. The third thing that I'd like to wrap up with is when I mentioned earlier in the interview that there are four fundamentals for business success. And when I looked at the hidden marketing asset system, I discovered that all of the strategies that we have in the hidden marketing assets, they address the four fundamentals for business success. So as an example, Verizon's number one fundamental is grow revenue. Well, when we show a small business owner how to change an ad and increase their response, we're helping them to grow revenue out of the same expenditure that they currently spend. When we teach them how to increase the average sale through add-ons and upsells and cross-sells, we are growing revenue. When we show them how to increase the lifetime value of the customer, we are growing revenue. The second major fundamental at Verizon was to get new customers. When we talk about the importance of referrals and letting people know that you're a referral-based business, you are building the referral process, which will help you get new customers. When you show people how to improve their conversion rates, you are getting new customers. When you build partnerships and alliances, new customers. When you talk about data-based marketing for prospective customers, you're getting new customers. So all of the things we teach is on very solid ground. Thirdly, keep the customers you already have. Again, database marketing with existing customers, great way to keep the customers you already have. Segmenting your database, providing exceptional customer service, training customer contact people. These are all helping you keep customers that you already have. And in terms of eliminating costs, the system teaches people that if it doesn't provide a return on investment or a result, then you can realign marketing dollars, you can reduce marketing dollars, all adding up to the bottom line. So the message for HMA consultants is that there's a market opportunity. There are pockets that there are better opportunities than others, which I mentioned. And number three, the system is on very solid ground for building the sales and the profits of an organization.
Frank, that's beautifully said. If someone wanted to contact you or see your website or your book, where would you direct them to and what would be the best manner to do so?
Okay, for the book, managers, can you hear me now? They can go to Amazon.com. They're the distributors for the book. In terms of contacting me, they can go to www.fswietek.com. And they can reach me on my business phone, which is 716-863-1584. I'd be happy to chat. I think it's one of the things we should do more of as consultants is to provide information and mentoring for other consultants.
Well, I appreciate you making that available, and I'm sure the consultants would be appreciative as well. Thank you very much, because you're certainly out there doing it, and it's great to hear these kind of stories. It's wonderful. For more interviews like this, go to hardtofindseminars.com.